shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning thinking of that scripture when your messenger appeared unto Mary and told her the great news of the Savior coming. She said, how shall these things be? And there was an answer given to her that all things are possible with the very presence of God. And we know that that's what brought in that great one, God manifest in flesh. And the very presence is going to bring that same one back who was born here on earth. We know the same spirit that's amongst us now, God, Holy Ghost, Jehovah, will become incarnate to us. We'll crown him King of Kings and come back to earth with him. So we pray, Lord, we may never falter or fail in our faith, but abide in the truth, and the truth abide in us. We know, Lord, your word will not fail us. May we never fail that word. Help us to learn how to get out of the way. And the life that's in that word may be released in us. And we crucified with Christ, nevertheless living, yet Christ living through us, Lord. We desire that this morning. Ask you to help us in our studies, Lord. We know that one paragraph is just like reading your own word that we find bound up in the volume by those prophets that were before us. Treats many, many sermons, as it were, with many, many thoughts on it. But we pray, Lord, you'll help us that our thoughts today may be very appropriate to this hour. We may glean from what we're hearing from the prophet, those truths, Lord, which were precious to him. They're precious to us. They're going to see us over to the other side. These mercies we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, just before I get into faith number 9, perfect faith, I always like to tell the people my feelings about them, and I was just thinking, sitting there, about the dedication of these little babies. We've been having quite a number, and it's been a very great pleasure and a privilege for me to be a part of it, especially since I've known some of the young mothers since they were just babies. And of course, it doesn't make me feel that much older, but although that's part of the, you know, part of life, but it gives a greater kinship. Also, it could make me a little more bossy, which I really don't intend to be. But here is Becca coming up this morning with her fine husband, Bruce. I've not known him too many years. I've known Becca since she's a little girl. And she's kind of like a granddaughter. The Grahams, known them perhaps longer than anybody here in this building. Kind of like children of ours. I don't think they're any older than our own children. And here we are now. And I just think this, how what a fine couples these are that come in. We think of Marilyn and Brad. I haven't known Brad as long as I know Marilyn. Marilyn's kind of our, Marilyn? She's too much like me to talk. But she's a favorite of ours, knowing her since she's just getting into her teens. So here we are, my wife and I, great grandparents many, many times over. And we're very proud of all these parents of ours that are here. I can take every single one. There's Dave and Ruth, and there's Marge and Gary, and I haven't known Dawn and Cindy all through their marriage, every child born. I don't think they were all born since I've known them. Perhaps was Nathan born? He's here too. See, all of the, and I look at all the parents, and I think, my lands, I've never seen such fine parents in my life. And Peter and Diane haven't been too long. And I see the children. I see what even some of the families have been through. And they're with us now. And I see how their children are blossoming out. And it makes me very happy because it's a good evidence to me that we're seeing before our very eyes what Brother Branham said, apply the token, your whole family's going to go with you. And that's marvelous. That's marvelous. So just want to pass that on in faith this morning to you, that I'm very thrilled about it. And, of course, you know I'm very proud. I don't say too much to you all the time because, but when I get behind your back or I tell anybody, I keep telling everybody in the country, I say, hey, pardon me, we don't have a very big church, but I say, I believe this. For the number of people we have, I think we've got the greatest concentration of faith and believing in this message there is in the world. Now, that just may be a plumb lie for all I know, but I'm going to stick with it. I'll go, if I'm standing here as a liar, I'll go down as a liar. And praise the Lord, doing it. So I thank the Lord for these people, these young people, and I just don't see any problem lying ahead that isn't going to be solved by the grace of God in their families. We, no matter what comes and how long the Lord tarries, we have faith that this word applied, received by the children learning it, it's going to do something for them. it will, that no other age has had. So we praise the Lord for our young people and these families. I'm very proud of them, and you know we certainly all love them together. Now, this message, Perfect Faith number 9, in speaking of perfect faith, Brother Branham sets forth the reality of faith, that it is even more of a substance of authority and power than anything involving the senses and the dynamics of nature and industry. So that, like Abraham, we can ignore the conditions and fill our minds with the promise of what is to be. So that's what this substance is. It's a substance of authority and power. And the reason I put authority above power is that Brother Branham, like Christ, said, well, even now, said Christ, I could call 12 legions of angels, but he said, I don't have the authority from God to do it. And Brother Branham said, I could take the disease off you, but God hasn't told me to. So we look at authority here, as we looked last night in Ephesians 3 and 20, that it is God exercising his power that is within you, or his gifts. That's where the Corinthian church really made its great error, and Pentecost fell into the same thing, because they thought they had gifts, whereby they, in the manipulation of gifts, they could aggrandize themselves, and they certainly did, and they ran afoul of everything. But you see, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Brother Branham said that you operate the gift, and the gift operated him. And if you had a real gift in operation, the gift would really operate you, because, like he said, I can't have a discernment for you anymore, and you can have a dream for me, or a vision for you anymore, and a dream for me. See, that's true. We are really under the headship of the Lord, and we have lost and left that headship. That's why Brother Branham was so strong against churchianity, the headship of men coming in and running things, because they didn't have authority. See, like years ago, I told you how I was up there in Canada, and this fellow came into the church, and he saw me discerning, which I don't say I should have been doing, praying for the sick, and they were delivered. And so he came, I said, "Why, what authority?" And I mean, he said, "By what authority do you do this?" And of course, I caught right away what he had in mind. I said, "Tell me, do you have the authority to do what I'm doing?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Are you doing it?" He said, "No." I said, "Can you do it?" He said, "No." I said, "I thought so." He was a Mormon. He had no authority. Hogwash. He had no power either. Completely skunked by the devil. Sure he was. Yes, sir. So, authority from God is the main thing. And we have the authoritative word of the prophet, so that should set us free in that particular area. Then we have the power, because we have the Holy Ghost, which is dunamis. As Brother Branham said, we need a spark to set off the power, and faith would be the spark to set off the power. So we have the authority and the power to utilize this faith, which is a substantial thing. Substance and authority, I mean authority and power are certainly substance. If you don't think so, you defy a cop. The whole nation's against you. So that's the truth. So, we can be like Abraham. To ignore the conditions and keep our minds on the promise of what is to be, because it already is in the mind of God, and by promise, by oath. We can afford to do this because we know the facts of faith and prayer. In other words, Brother Branham wishes to position us in the atmosphere of believers. I am what I am, therefore I do what I do. In other words, we become thoroughly oriented. We become a part of the dynamic kingdom of God. We recognize it. So that's what we're looking at here in this message. And this is very important to Brother Branham, because he used the understanding of the scripture, that Jesus knew who he was, where he was in the scripture, and how the scripture backed him. And Brother Branham said that's the same in his case, although he didn't just tell us plump and plain it was there. Plump and plain, really. You can understand English. And the same goes to you and me. Using Jesus as an example, Brother Branham tells us that true believers walking in faith are mystics and appear mystical to the world. They are misunderstood even as Jesus was. Christ admitted we would be. In fact, paragraph 114, where we begin today, he tells us this life is a life that isolates us from the world and the world from us. Like Paul said, I'm crucified the world and the world of me. Now, he tells us of the enormity of this faith and how it transforms the believers. So we're going to read about this in paragraph 114. Pardon me, and there's a lot of things going to come out of here that by the help of the Lord I want to weave into it from what Brother Branham preached, though he might not be thrusting at some of these things directly, but more obliquely. And I'm looking at some things he says here because they're not too clear as to what he's actually saying, because he doesn't define every point. So I'm going to try to do that with you this morning. We'll just see where we go. All right, 114. And so when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith. And you know the power with the substance of authority and power. In other words, can do. See? So when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean the can have and the can do with what God gives me. He is isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ. So the doctors fight divine healing. They fight about everything. The preacher will fight this, the church will fight it, everybody's going to fight it. You're going to have a pretty rough stand here when you take this stand. If you are really a faith person, you and I will be more mystical, more mysterious, more offbeat, downbeat to the people. Weird. Then we give ourselves credit for being. Herein he is isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature. The first thing he says, if you are a substance faith believer, if you understand the true substance of your authority and power, that you get that glint in your eye against the world and the devil. See? Harmless as dove and wise as serpents. Meek as sheep and tough as a lion. Faith doesn't back up. Stay sweet, strong by love, but doesn't back up. You stand there. You know what you got, and you're going to stick with it. Can you imagine Brother Branham back away when the chips were down? Backpedal fast as anything when the chips weren't down. Just, well, I believe something else. Be my guest. But if you ever told him he was off on one vision, you watch your step. You could die for it. Stand any fooling around at all. But don't mess with this. You see why families separate and the people think evil of others that stand in this way? Brother Branham said the entire world is isolated from you and you from it. You become a new creature in Christ. Now, I am not convinced by the context of this statement, preaching on perfect faith, that this new creature has very much to do with 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, where it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That's true. Has to do with the rebirth. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Now, if you read it the way it is written, in context with this message, and you apply it with this message, that's fine. But let's watch. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, that to me is not really what most people think it is, although that's true what they think. So watch it. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Let's read it. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abuse themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, drunkards, revilers, sorcerers, shall inherit the kingdom of God. But, and such were some of you. But you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God. Now, that belongs there. But I don't believe that's it. No, I don't. I believe it is more than that because he's talking about creatures of faith. So, let me tell you what I believe it is as we go along here. And we are going to look at Hebrews 11, 8 to 12. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out, became a new creature. Because he was a pagan down there in the Ur of the Chaldees. And a worshiper of foreign gods, when God spoke to him and said, "You are the one I have chosen." So now he came out and he's a new creature. We have come out. So we are now new creatures. In the accepted sense that we are not what we once were before we came out. So I'm relating this to this hour, everything Brother Branham said, so just stick here. He was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, and he obeyed. Not knowing where he was going, but he went. When we came out under this message, we had no idea what we'd be getting in today. We just knew we better get out because something was brewing. And those that took the right attitude, stuck with it, have come to the conclusions we've come to today. The stand that we have. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. He didn't really get used to it. That strikes the familiar. How used are we to it? Hey, it's not easy. We are of the earth, remember? Adam was taken from the earth outside the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was God's righteous judgment come down upon earth. Right? And so therefore, of the earth being earthy, and we read it last night, that's different from being heavenly of the heavenly. And being what he was, that's why it was so easy to take to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of good, of eternal life. I never have seen a sheep yet that wasn't capable of doing everything a goat could do and doing more of it and better. Stranger. A lot of these things are strange to us. That's why it's faith. And our point is, can you take this strangeness? You say, "Bless God, I love it." Well, there you got faith. Proves you're a believer right there. So what are you crying for? I proved you right now you got faith. Now, what do you get trouble someplace? We got families that have trouble other places. I don't have mentioned names. You've had them for years. I still don't have mentioned names we know. They don't have a bit of trouble. Do they? No trouble. Why? Because you bleed back there, you bleed stronger now. Like if the males didn't go and cut their heads off, their noses to spite their faces like some people do. We got different ones sitting here. You're not missus. You might have been messed with. You might have been hurt. But tell you stick to this word. See? You're not 100% familiar. Who is? My heavens. We're believing in what a camera took and a prophet told us all about. Let's hear. Scientists say this. The prophet said that. Who are you going to believe? I'm downright kooky. I'm sorry, but that is what the prophet said. Now you can say what you want. Say, "Well, Brother Vail, what if?" I just told you before the service, if I was a liar, I'm going to stand here as a liar. I'm sorry about that. I'm not moving. Can't move. Because I believe it. Now, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, had his kids with him. Lovely families here today with their children growing up in the message. Absolutely fantastic. Through faith, Sarah also herself received strength to conceive seed, would deliver the child when she was past age because she judged him faithful to promise. We got that. Brother Branham told us stories of women past the age of childbearing, completely past. Positively bore beautiful children. Not like Sarah here. They weren't gifted for that. They weren't meant to. Barren women received children. Right down the line. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. See? He didn't worry about his body, simply speaking. So many as the stars in the sky and above you, the sands which is by the seashore and the world, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded, went right down to the grave and said, Amen, it's so.
Amen.
They embraced them. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims to the earth. They said, Hey, boys, I know you'd understand me. Abraham sat in the gate, his old long flowing beard, and they said, Hey, that's the mayor of the town. Better talk to him. Who are you? Well, he said, I'm Abraham. They said, Well, bless God, that means father of nations. You must have many churches. He said, Nope, ain't got one. Well, he said, You ought to change your name. He's already did.
Amen.
Well, it was Abraham. And then you took this? Yeah. Would you like to explain it? Not that I'd like to hear it. It would be kind of fun to tell the boys at the club, though. And my wife, she plays bridge with the old ladies and get a good cackle out of those hens, too. What's with you, old boy? Honey said, God said. My wife, where's Rick? She's over there. How old is she? She's 90. Oh, brother. You talk about isolated. Man, I think they were as popular as the kids that went to school knowing he had AIDS. Well, that's what it says here. Now, listen. For they that say such things make a plain declaration. They don't belong. They're seeking something other a country. Now listen, truly, if they had kept in mind the country from whence they came out, they would have gone back. That's what it says. I'm reading that literally, literal translation. I'm not reading the King James, literal translation. So if you want to fight, you fight with somebody else, that you're a dead duck in my books. If they had kept in mind, they would have gone back. Now, let's be honest. If they had kept in mind, would not they have gone back? They'd have been nuts not to. Right. You see how serious it is to watch the mind line up. So when we're talking about this faith, I'm not talking about you being born again, a new creature. I'm talking about the principles of faith in a born-again creature, which makes you and me that new creature. And believe me, brother, sister, I say to my own disgrace, I am sorry I ever let down on a ministry of power. Although Brother Branham said, all do not pray for the sick. And I can't do it. I can't break what God gave me. but I do feel in my heart, because there are certain things that I couldn't go along in certain ministries. I feel that I could have preached to people's benefit in my own in particular. These precepts of faith, because they work. They are not something given to us that we can simply look at and bypass and say, well, I've added that to my knowledge. A lot of unrelated facts, my brother, sister, that we do not use in our lives are pitiful. They're excess baggage or garbage. And it's a pity to call the Word of God baggage or garbage, but Brother Branham did say they're full of wiggletails. Just leaving somewhere. That becomes garbage. That's an awful thing with the Word of God, but I'm afraid we certainly let down in these areas. All right. Let's read a little further by going to Romans, the 4th chapter, and we'll just take a little tiny peek at that because I want to go into it again with you on another thought. And that is here where Abraham, the 13, given the promise that he should be heir to the world, was not to Abraham received through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The same thing applies to you and me. For if they which are of the law be heirs, then faith is made void and the promise of none effect. So there's no promise of God in the whole category that's effective outside of a constant faith. In other words, you stick with it and it sticks with you. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. We talk about the grace of God, and we neglect to mention the word faith in the same breath, and that's erroneous. Because grace can only be applied by faith. When God extended grace to you and me, it was on the basis of faith motivated by love, or he never would have done it. Same with you and me. Why would you extend grace to anybody? On the grounds that faith is, someday that person may turn. What if your faith is not met and the person never changes? No matter. You still use faith. You don't give up the ship. That's what this is talking about. Verse 18, who when hope was gone, hoped on in faith that he might become what God said he already was. And being not weak in faith, but very weak in his body and growing shakier every day, he said, so what? That's tough. That's a tough attitude. That's hard to do. Because pain is pain. Sickness is sickness. He was 100 years old. Shouldn't even been living. He said, so I'm in bad shape. What's that got to do with it? And my wife's in worse shape. What's that got to do with it? In fact, like Billy Paul's little boy went to Chicago one time. He's messing around. And his dad said, you mess around again at that thing, I'm throwing the garbage tin. He kept messing around. He said, Daddy, there's a garbage tin. Bluffing his dad. He saw more. He said, in fact, this whole city's nothing but a garbage tin. It's a bunch of garbage tin. That's what Abraham said. It's just a bunch of garbage lying around here. Now, the question is, what can Abraham do with what he has got? Nothing. What he has got him in trouble. So here's what you do. You got problems, you got debts. So all night long, you sit up and you pour your debts. You say, oh my heavens, I own the refrigerator. Oh my heavens, I own the car. Oh my heavens, oh my heavens. Oh my, the mortgage, the rent, the doctor, the this, the that. You get someplace, don't you? You sit there and go crazy. But you say, aha, I know what I'll do. I'm a carpenter. The doctor I've seen needs to work in his office. So I go to the doc and I'll say, Doc, hey, I don't have the money. But I see your office needs fixing. Let me change my service for yours, a little barter. That'll get the man somewhere, right? And putting them, like Abraham, the mind on the word of God is what's going to do, because the other will never do. Then why waste your time on it? So many people, they say, well, it's too bad the cream is sour, so we won't have any whipped cream. Go on downtown and buy another pint. Whip her up. See? Shakespeare said it. Don't cry over spilt milk. Somebody said there's enough water in already. Now, but notice, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. Why? Because faith was substance. It was authority and power. God said, you will have a son by Sarah. I don't care who said different. He said, praise God, I'll have a son by Sarah, and I don't care who said different. And you know, it took him 25 years to come to the place of perfect maturation of faith, which is called the assurance of faith. He started with faith, and he ends up with assurance of faith. Brother Brown's been gone by about 22 years about. Maybe it's going to take us 25 years to assurance of faith. All right. So, this is what the new creature is I'm looking at. You don't go by your senses anymore. Why? Because you're born into a heavenly kingdom which operates on faith. And remember, Eve did not use her faith. She used her senses. The Bible said she was seduced. I won't go into that. But you know all about it. New creature. All right, so when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith. And you know that power and authority absolutely is substance and controls physicals. He is isolated from the entire world. God picks you up. All right, in the Garden of Eden, Adam had control. God picked up. Right over here outside, boy. Now, by faith, not through regeneration of the human cells, immortal, he goes, grab it, right in the kingdom of God. Now, we're queer ducks again. Poor old Adam, a queer duck out here. Now, we're queer ducks in here. But God gave Adam everything he needed, the sweat of the brow, and everything to live out here. Now, here's the point. We are equipped by God to live in the kingdom. We are. Take stock of your assets. You'll find that. Number two. There. Now we're getting into brag material. When you begin to realize that you are a new creature, and remember, he talks of this message. He talks of Bible days are here again. The Son of Man, all these things he's talking of. Using his ministry, the presence of God, to deal even with this subject, which is only one subject of 900 and some tapes or 1,000 and some message we have of Brother Branham. See? He says, there now you're getting to bride material. See? You're getting into rapturing condition now. Okay. Bride material. Bride material, I believe, is Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Now, look, I can be wrong on this, but I very sincerely doubt I am. In fact, I can tell you right now, I know I'm not. I'm praying this for all I can, if it takes one paragraph or one message. But I want to look at this, because these are things that he said. Why did he say them? Okay, Hebrews 4, 9 to 16. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Abraham got it. Why, they said, you funny old duck, do you really believe? He said, no problem at all. Well, maybe you could get some rejuvenation shots and take a young woman. He said, no, I'm not interested. I had that. Been all through that with Hagar. Just caused a lot of trouble. No. No dice. Well, do you mean you can sit right here and be comfortable with the fact of this strange thing that you believe has been committed to you from God? Oh, yes, no problem. Ha! Can't you see us sitting here today and realizing this message is the conduit of the Holy Ghost that's going to make us immortal? And I'm very comfortable. In fact, I'd be uncomfortable with anything else, because then I've got to do something. Hogwash. Let me tell you flat, I'm not comfortable with any kind of a work unless God does the work where he builds the conduit and then fills it with water. I don't mind drinking. I'm just like the guy that was so lazy he wouldn't do a thing. So they said, we're going to get rid of him. We're going to bury him alive. Well, they said, that's the way it's going to be. It's going to be because we won't feed him unless he works. So one time, they took him to the graveyard and this old farm wagon, the farmer came by and he said, what's going on? He said, we're going to bury this lazy skunk alive. He won't work, so he ain't going to eat. And he's too lazy to work, but he'll eat. And the farmer said, well, he said, I tell you what, you turn him over to me and I'll feed him corn. And the guy read me, he said, is the corn husky? He said, no. He said, drive on. Pretty good farmer, Eugene. That's where I am. You tell me something now, it's too late. I ain't got what it takes. Abraham didn't have it. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Where is the laboring? It's in the mind, whether you can make the decision and stay with it. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. What's the unbelief? When they left Egypt, they turned down the prophet. That's what. Now listen, this is today. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit, and joint and marrow, and discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. And he said, time after time after time, to 10 people, to 100, to 1,000, to 5,000, to 30,000 people, to 500,000 if necessary, I take every spirit under my control in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you couldn't hide if you tried. That's ours. We've entered into a rest. Bride food. Everybody tried to produce bride food. They discerned. And they lie. they keep lying. Ha. See, what if somebody came on the scene bigger than Brother Branham? I'd laugh. I told him personally one time, and I'd say it again to anybody, I wouldn't walk across the street to see you raise the dead except I know you. If I could mouth off with a prophet, I was sincere, though. I meant it. I knew him, the man that he was. The kind of man you don't see except in the millennium. Real prophets. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open in the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then, we've got this great high priest who's taken on him the fullness now, Melchizedek, because he climbed on the throne. Right? Ready now not to offer blood, but what? To sit with us and to partake of that which symbolizes it in the kingdom. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but in all points tempted like as we yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Free speech. Open mouth. Not afraid. Come right up. That we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. I believe that's the new creature you're looking at with the bride food, with the bride material. All right. Let's look at some more bride material. This bride material we read many, many times. We'll read it again. The 2 Corinthians, because we don't want anyone to ever fail. I would like everyone who hears my voice and hears these tapes to know the scripture the same as I know them, which isn't very much, to be honest with you. You don't need to. You don't need to know it all. You just need to know what the prophet preached. See? All right. Reading then. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 15. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon the hearts of Israelites. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the heart, the mind, when there is a turning, then the veil is taken away. When God caught our attention, brother, sister, that's the time we as bride turned to God and said, that's God. They would not do that in Moses' day, in Jesus' day, rather. They couldn't say it. They said, why? He makes himself God. He makes himself equal. Who does he think he is? What's going on here anyway? Oh, you mean to tell me they couldn't put two and two together before? They refused it. They deliberately blinded themselves. They deliberately did it. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Jehovah God is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, unveiled, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Now we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. And now it tells you right there, starting in the first church age, it started. It went on. It was buried in the fourth church age. In the fifth church age, it started to come back and look a little bit like Christ. But it was only in this hour that it actually was the Christ and showed that it was. Now, we, beholding, have come to the place of acceleration. Whereas Brother Branham said, the shadow must give way to the substance. And the negative to the positive. For he said, if you put your hand up to a white wall with the light shining, then move your hand toward the wall where the hand and the shadow become one. You are seeing the negative turn more and more to the positive. He said, never. He said, could I see the shadow of an elephant and it turned out to be a little spindly man? You get the picture, brother, sister? Could you see the shadow of what God was doing in this man's ministry and then end up with a spindly little concoction of man's mind? Laying it on the line for you and me. All right. It says, therefore, we having this ministry, faint not. What ministry? Apostolic ministry. Of that you may have many teachers, but you got one Father. So today is the same thing. You got a problem with wrong teaching, as they had in the first age, as it came in after the brother Apostle Paul. All right. With this, we go to Corinthians, beg your pardon, Romans, the 12th chapter. And you're all aware of the 12th chapter. We read it many, many times because it's right in here we see. I beseech you therefore, brethren, verse 1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Now, Eve and Adam defiled their bodies, and ever since then we've been defiling our bodies. How to get back to the garden? How to get back to immortality? Present your bodies to God. Be a temple, and He'll raise you up like Christ. In this last hour, how much more should we present our bodies? Now they're being scared by all the diseases coming on the earth. Let me tell you, they're going to get worse. I predicted this not knowing what it would be. You've heard me speak it many times. How that God repented. He was sorry for man dying in the slime and ooze of his own body. Just going down, down. And in Africa, whole villages have the AIDS. And they call it a walking, sleeping sickness. Just what I said. I didn't know it would come this way. I should have had brains to know it would come this way. You don't hear the prophet for many years as I heard him and then not realize it would have to be degenerate sex. And they think they're going to cure it. They'll cure it maybe, but they get a worse one. The way it's going to be, it's got to be. He never got pregnant eating apples. World's gone down. Present your bodies. And don't be fashioned according to this world. Brother Branham said Satan fashions this world after Hollywood. Yeah. You know, God burnt up Frisco once, but you wait till next fire. But be you transformed, transfigured. Enter into the metamorphosis that you're looking for. Getting out of here from the old caterpillar to the butterfly. Where nature doesn't light on you, but you light on nature. Nature doesn't light on butterflies. Butterflies light on nature. Get away from the caterpillar, groveling existence. Transform, regenerate, renewing. Turn it over. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Brother Branham set it forth here as that walk of faith, that new creature. And if you look at this, you'll understand Abraham perfectly and understand where we're going today. Now, it's not incumbent upon us to be prophetic like the prophet. But it's incumbent upon us to learn the rules. In other words, we are now looking at rapturing faith. The revelation that Brother Branham gave us. All right. Listen to me. To accept Malachi 4 and his vindication. Let me read a little bit further here before I talk about that. You're getting into rapturing condition now. That means for each one of us, not just the pastor now, deacons and trustees, that means for the laity. Every individual walks in a world with God alone. You're baptized into this kingdom, and there's nobody in there but you and God. Now, he says, this is a new creation. I'm leading you to a place where you can identify yourselves and be what God's speaking of you, the new creature. It's a faith precept. Not just fruits now. No. You can be the most fruitful Christian you think in the world. But he's talking about something beyond that. You're standing here in this realm of faith. You'll be isolated. You're going to rapturing faith in your isolation. You're going to be alone, you and God. He gives the orders and you carry them out. Whatever he says, there's not a shadow of doubt anywhere. You walk right on. Now, Brother Branham is the prophet. Could say that in the sense of being a prophet and mean this. To you and me, it is not that. It is the demonstration he gives by God that lets you and me know this book here is superior with its word than even his visions. Why? Because out of this book comes the vision. So therefore, out of the whole comes the part. So when you see the whole proven, you take the part. Each individual commitment that God's given us as a promise. You understand? Okay. Now, you walk right on with this word. If the Lord says this, there's nobody in the world can talk you out of it. You go right on just the same. But that's the prophet again talking. Trickle down to you and me. Now you're coming into perfect faith. Perfect perfection that cannot fail. That kind of faith never fails. And that's the faith that you find in 1 Corinthians 13, now abides faith, hope, and love. These three. At the end of the ages, when perfection comes, you now have come to a perfect faith. God's own perfect faith, built on His power and authority, is producing a bride. And in them is that which will respond to that which He is and has and demonstrates to us. Clearly giving us the intent of what it's all about, so that we may believe for what He has for us, and we can do it. Hebrews 13:8, with it Mark 16. That faith never fails. He was a mystic to them with His perfect faith, and so it is now with those who have perfect faith. They are mystics to others. All right. Now, let's go back and look at the third point. There's nobody in this kingdom but you and God. Well, that's interesting. When did that ever happen? When Adam was here in the Garden of Eden. So he's telling you right now, we're getting back to the Garden of Eden. Let's just take a few scriptures on that. We have a little bit of time here to expand our minds and see what maybe everything the prophet had in his mind. Because look, we're talking about rapturing faith. Now we're talking beginning the kingdom. We're talking about this perfect faith. We're talking about being new creatures. Hey, we're going somewhere. Evidently, I believe we are. Genesis then, we're going to read the third chapter. And let's look at it. 8 to 14. Okay, here we are. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of God amongst the trees of the garden. Uh-huh. So, all right, we're back to Eden. Man sinned. Now he's trying to duck this. God comes on the scene. Malachi 4, 5 to 6. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Revelation 10:1. Ephesians 1:17. Lots more, right down the line. John 14:12. Right down the line. Okay? When devils are cast out, the kingdom of God's come amongst you. Brother Branham had the greatest authority over spirits in the world. I take every spirit in my control. Devils fell at his feet. So what are you going to do? Kingdom's come. God's here. The same one in the flesh is here again. Now I can start screaming right now. If I'm Pentecostal right there, I could start screaming. Crying and screaming. Because it's real. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if I say it or don't say it. If William Branham hadn't said it, it's still true. We wouldn't have known it. See? Right back. They hid themselves. This age can't hide because the discerning word wouldn't let it. Everything's naked. Adam said, we're naked. He said, who told you? Now they say we're clothed. He said, who told you? Or a preacher did. Liars, you're naked. You don't believe this whole Bible's for today, brother, sister? Where are you? He said, I heard your voice and I was afraid. I was afraid of my denomination, said the preacher. I was afraid of my pension. I didn't have one. I got one now. Hallelujah. Oh, you, brother, you feel learning something? I try to walk. I try to live. I try to show you these things. They work. If they work for me, and God knows, look at me. And I mean, look at me like you look at a worm. Not like you look at Brother Branham. There's something to it. So I hid myself. Brother Ben said, you can't hide. Who told you naked? Who said you're clothed? What tree are you eating up? You bunch of hypocrites. You're naked, wretched, and blind. And wretched means you're a beggar and a bum sitting on the street corner panhandling. Now Abraham sat there. He looked weird. Oh, hallelujah, I'm a father of nations. And he was. And here today they're sitting on the street going, hallelujah, I'm a millionaire, I'm rich, look at me, the biggest man. Oh, hallelujah, we're going to fill the pulpit because the preachers aren't doing a job. And they died. Intruding into an office. Rich. They're beggars panhandling. You hear what I said? I'm giving you the word of God, my brother, sister. I don't care what you believe. I'm not interested. Not interested at all what you believe, not what I believe. He said, "Who said you're clothed?" Who said you were clothed when you came to this message? You think you're clothed? Clothed. Where is the spirit of self-righteousness and legalism, brother, amongst us? It's rotten. The new creature of this hour. Yes, it is, because he's going to walk in immortal. You talk about a new creature. Adam, the best he could obtain, as a fisher in the hand of God creation, would wait 6,000 years. Oh, it was wonderful, the 6,000 years he had in his sin. But he waited. You're not going to walk in. Lord tarries, gives me health. Walk in. Say, Brother Bailey, you don't look like you should. Oh, we need to date Abraham. Hallelujah. You go by looks. You ain't so hot yourself. I'm not interested. It's a one-man show. You're not looking in my mirror. I'll look in my mirror. You look in your mirror. Amen. Abraham didn't see Abraham. Didn't see Sarah. He saw God. You believe God can talk to you? Go back and get a tape in Beaumont. Go on, do it. I challenge you. Suddenly thought about my son, Gray. How did he come back? He did cost him his life, but he came back. You're a queer duck. Abraham said, "You have what you have. I got what I want. I got what God wanted for me." And something in there said, "This is the way to go." All right, he said, "Did you eat of the tree I told you not to eat? The Antichrist lie." What's the Antichrist lie? "Thou shalt not surely die. Millions down to me will not die." That's a lie from the pit of hell. How can the whole world go to the Antichrist and go to God at the same time? And you got a black, white bird and a sober, drunk man. Man said, "They said, I'll tell you where I got it. I got it in my church." The woman. God blasted the woman. Oh, he said, how come you did it? Well, she said, "To tell you honest, I got it straight from the devil. He tricked me." And God said, "Oh, little darling, pat. Seeing you were tricked by the devil, and you took my son down with you, it's all right, honey." Did he? You read Revelation 18, you'll find out what he said. With her merchandise and everything else, she's going to go to the lake of fire. All right, that's interesting. She said, "The serpent," he said, "Devil," he said, "what about you now? Tell what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to destroy you. Bring you right down. You'll eat dust." In other words, everything you built up by pride and vanity, and you took faith in as though you could do something by controlling people, you're down. And so the devil and his church and his world and everything goes down, and we come back completely purified with God. Now, let's go back to Genesis, because we want to read this carefully how we're doing this. Now, I got a purpose in what I'm doing. Genesis 2 now, 7 to 9. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed his nostril, breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden east toward Eden, and there he put the man he made formed, and out of the ground made God to grow every tree, pleasant to sight and good for food, the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Now, I'm going backwards on purpose, because I'm looking at the resurrection now. And in the resurrection, I see them all coming out of the ground to take over the millennium. And two trees will not be there, just one. Why? Because everything's made new. That which caused the problem is now eradicated. Now, we go back further. We go back to Genesis 1, 26 to 29. "And the Lord God said, let us make man our image,
after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over the, all the earth, every creeping thing creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and God created him, male and female created him. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, every living thing upon the earth. We're going back to it. Now listen, you're going to do it one by one. You and God in the kingdom. And nobody, but nobody, can hold your hand, and you can't take them with you. So here you are in this end time. In this faith, this great revelation, we have through the prophet and in teaching us. Now, I'm going to talk some more about it. To accept Malachi 4 and his vindication and the appearing and what it means is bride faith. Now watch carefully. Abraham faith, as of Romans 4, 13 to 21, is also Hebrews 11, 8 to 14. Now let's go back and let's look at it. Because I'm going to put them together. We've read this, we'll put it together, and then we're going to quit. Because, I'm sorry, time just goes and that's all there is to it. One paragraph, but I'm glad I got through one paragraph. Because to me, this is a lovely paragraph. Never had so much joy in my life for many, many times, months or what you call it, as I have joy of the Lord in this morning. Okay, 13 to 20. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not made to Abraham or received through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now watch, the promise of heir to the world. Now watch carefully, the promise of heir to the world. What I said? The promise of heir to the world, right? Is that what you're looking at? Well, you better look at it, because that's what we're looking at. Heir to the world. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. That's Romans 4 now, 16 verse. Therefore it's of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now watch. As it's written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were. So therefore it tells you flat that Abraham had a promise that he was living up to, heir of the world, and he'd die before he got it. He could walk on it, but he couldn't possess it. Because the Bible said God did not give one piece of land that Abraham put one foot on to him. Yet it was his. That's the book of Acts. Now, who when hope was gone, that earnest expectation was gone, expected earnestly by faith. He was going to get what God said. And being not weak in faith, he was weak in his body. He was weak every place but his faith. He was a dying man. But he wasn't dead when it comes to faith. He considered not his own body now dead. So what's the use looking at it? Sarah's womb dead. Forget it. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now he staggered, but not at the promise. His feet weren't too good. Couldn't lift him too good. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's where his strength was. Strong, and he knew his authority and his power by the power of the word. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, notice it says here, the promise of the land he was to possess had to come through a promised son that he couldn't have unless God did something. He said, that speaks of Christ. Does it? Does exactly. Now, let's go over to Hebrews 11, 8 to 14. And it comes together even more. We want to read this. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into place which he should after receive inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered a child when she was past age, because she judged in faith with promise. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead as many the stars in the sky in multitude, as the sea which is by the sand, the sea which is by the seashore innumerable. They all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded them, and embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Now, what I'm looking at here is this. That every time we talk of Abraham, we talk of Abraham and the promised son, we talk of the seed because we relate it to Jesus Christ. But we forget that God made promise of a kingdom, not a son, of a kingdom, then a son. Now, what am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you, I've been preaching this morning all along. Eden was God's righteous kingdom on earth because God was there. God is headquartering right now in a bride. He is absolutely head. We have returned to Eden conditions. We are looking for a kingdom. But the kingdom will not be ours until the Son appears. And the Son is going to appear. He will shortly appear. He's already appeared in the form of the Holy Spirit in a pillar of fire. The same one that Paul met on the road who said, I am Jesus, Jehovah Savior, the one that you persecute. So therefore, we are already now having our feet in the promised land like Abraham. In Eden, in the millennium, doesn't do us one bit of good. Except in this sense. It has to be that way. But I'm speaking now of being immortal and living in the millennium. But as soon as the Son comes on the scene, which he will, after the destruction of Sodom, he'll be perfectly formed as the head. The bride perfectly formed. That spirit will be incarnated to us, will come right down here and take over. Now what I'm trying to show you, it's going on now. Now let's read more. For this time we're going to go to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And we're going to read starting at verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. They're not come now to Sinai. No. They were shivering and quaking. There was no rest. There was fear. The presence of God brought tragedy and fear. To us, it doesn't do that. In fact, we are surprised at ourselves being so casual in His presence. We shouldn't be that way. The heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. Well, is He here? Is He not here as a judge? Certainly He's here as a judge. If He's not here as judge, who gave the authority to William Branham to say, little bride, the judgment's over. Declared the righteous, guiltless, virgin bride, you didn't even do it. Justified. Who gave the authority? Who is the prophet? Son of man, because he is the son of man, he's the judge. And who's the son of man? He's prophet. Just be free. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. What covenant now? The covenant God gave. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. The covenant God does not forget, even as He didn't forget Israel, the ones that sinned, Dan and Ephraim, and they're not in the lineup. Nope, you got Joseph back there in Manasseh. Now, Jesus made a new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh at this time of the judge. Malachi 4. If they escape not and refuse this him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn from him that is from heaven. Doesn't say speak it, but that is from heaven. Because the thunders are on earth. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now it's promising. Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. When's that? Great tribulation going to shake it all down. Brother Brandt said, every man may think it's going to go. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. Things that are made, they'll be shaken. That those things which cannot be shaken may remain. That's the eternal things of God. If you've got the eternal life, you'll make it. Now listen. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Now, let us have grace. At this time, we've started right back to the Eden concept. The kingdom of God on earth. Brother Branham said, God, the headquarters on earth, was where He was in dealing with Adam. And in there was the authority that under certain conditions he would be immortal and then that is live on until death would never touch him. 6,000 years it would be. Then he would be changed. the covenant broken. Adam broken. This covenant will not be broken. Remember, the devil was right there, just like he was in heaven one time before he got kicked out, came down to earth. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, and don't let your minds go. Keep with what I'm teaching you. Because this is the truth. We are there. We are not looking to get there. We are there. For the one that was supposed to speak has spoken. And it said, we receiving a kingdom. See? Let us have grace whereby we may serve God, except he with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. There it is right there. The same pillar of fire that gets us out of here is going to come back and destroy the world. And we with it. That's we're going to be with the pillar of fire that destroys. Now there's a present condition that I see in this one little paragraph. About maybe 15 lines. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Yeah, 15, 16 lines. All right. We mentioned this, and we go to it. How many minutes? Well, okay, we won't take 15. We're just going to take this last thought here. This one paragraph, because it's enough. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul speaking. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which in part should be done away. In other words, when everything has run its course. The whole word of God for the Gentile church age has run its course. There is nothing more to go. Seven church ages, seven messengers, it's over. And the last messenger is Elijah. The same as John the Baptist was. Now, it's going to be all, the part will be done away. And everything goes. Everything goes. Why? Nothing more to go. See? So we go what? To the higher sphere. An entirely new word for the new creature. And Brother Branham said, you don't change one iota when you leave here except your body. I know you think you do. You say, well, Brother Bale, my soul will be that much better. You're entirely wrong. Your soul won't be. No. Justified is justified. How righteous can you get? You've got to recognize your extremes, brother, sister. If you don't understand extremes and recognize extremes, you'll never understand sovereignty that says God knew every flea and how many times he'd bat his eyeballs. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Now, look, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. This is the hour of adoption. Manhood. Not a bar mitzvah. Some kooky 13-year-old trying to be a man. Well, it's good the kid knows he's got to grow up. You know, man. Now, I've been tried yet. It means to him, I'm going to get tried now. You better watch your step, kid. But it just means some stupid festivity now. Not what it used to mean, as far as I know. I'm a man. Manhood. Adulthood. Now we see through a glass darkly. But then is going to come 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. No more veils. Now he says, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. In other words, we're going to come into the full revelation of the mystery of God concerning his purposes, which Brother Branham absolutely laid out in sermon after sermon, mystery of God, Christ, mystery of God revealed. masterpiece, but especially future home of the heavenly bridegroom and earthly bride. Should be heavenly bridegroom. Laid out there. Now watch. Now abides faith, hope, love. Now abides faith. The substance of authority and power. And brother, sister, we saw it. And earnest expectation. What does this substance designate? We're into it. This is it. The kingdom, the Son, our part in it. And love, God himself on the scene doing it. That's where you're at. I don't care how you look at this. I can just simply read this, as Brother Branham said it. Pass it off with little principles. But when he says something about bride material, I got to check what bride material is by the scripture that qualifies or describes the material. Because if I'm supposed to have mahogany in that organ, I don't want a piece of pine. Now you're going to take a piece of pine and make it look maybe just exactly like that. Say, hey, that person may look like bride, but I better go to the specs. Here's a lot. You know, even every word I said means something these days. Look at the word never before in history like today. Quality control.
God's dealing with quality, brother, sister, not quantity.
All laid out here in the word today. All right, we're going to close reading this. Just one little thing that I dealt with today. And so when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith. The substance of power and authority. He's isolated from the entire world. There's no doubt about it. He's a new creature in Christ. Now he's already talking about a man that's born again. And he's dealing with you and me in this present hour, contingent to his ministry. So I can't stop there. I got to dig. There. Now you're getting to bride material. Where did the six church ages above us have bride material, as this hour has bride material, for rapturing faith? They never had it. They had faith and earnest expectation, but they didn't get to love. Didn't get to God. See, now listen, you're getting into a rapturing condition. What dead person needs to get in a rapturing condition? He can hardly wait to get down here and pick his body up. Who's he talking about? You and me. So he's not talking about fruit and gifts and these things and that. He's talking about something else. So let's find out. Have we found out, right? That means for each one of us, not pastor now, to deacons and trustees, for laity, everyone. Every individual in a world with God alone. Hey, I'm like, oh, dear old Adam. Man, this is great, me and God. Well, listen, he's talking about a new bunch of people. He's talking about a rapturing faith. You got to get changed before you can get out of here. And immortality was spoken of in the Garden of Eden. So it's got to get back there. Oh, come on. Alpha's Omega. I don't, listen, you follow what I'm saying? Alpha's Omega. This is not too hard. I'm trying to get it the way you can get it. You're baptized into this kingdom. Start with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's where you started. To just be this new creature, the whole bit. You can't get without it. And there's nobody in there but you and God. Now, you know, brother, sister, that that is not a true statement when it comes to the body. Because that body is comprised of many members. This is something different. Not talking about getting the body now. You know that. You can't be doing that. You say, well, brother Bill, what is there's a confrontation. We go in one by one. But listen, I know all of that. But why is this other in here? See, I can't let my mind cannot rest with that. There's no way to rest. Too many thoughts come pouring in. Nobody in there, see? But you and God. He gives the orders. You carry them up. Whatever he says, there's not a shadow doubt anywhere. You walk right on. Who had that but William Branham? Yet you and I can have it in our own little plane. I've told people different times certain things. I never backed away. I can soft pedal and pretend I didn't really say it. Like, you know what I mean? Say, well, you know, it could be. Hasn't failed yet. How is anything going to fail if it comes from God? See, that's what Brother Brown said. If you have something in a little room here, don't be afraid to put it in the pulpit. If it comes from God, man, what are you worried about? It came from God, didn't it? All right, then it works. Amen. Well, I don't know. You see, I know that God is perfect and the gift perfect. I'm not. What's that got to do with you anyway? God always had imperfect vessels, but he gave them what they had in the realm of faith. He's gave us everything to take care of these things. Come on. See? All right, he gives the order. You should carry them out. Whatever he says is not a shadow of nowhere. You walk right on. If God says this, there's nobody in the world can talk it out of you. Like he said, I'm going to raise Abraham Lincoln, I'm going to raise him. You go on right the same. Going to get shot down the road. He said, I'll get shot down. Run me out of Finland if that boy's not standing on his feet in 2 minutes. Run me out. His shoes knocked off, one sock missing. Bones broken. Eyes turned back, dead. crushed. But no vision about the second boy that was almost fatally injured. And they said, well, you raised the first boy, raise the second. You raised the first. He said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. Well, why not? God didn't see him. No vision.
Amen.
So he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. A vision appeared of a little wilted rose and it perked right up. He said, thus saith the Lord, the boy is delivered. And he was. Couldn't say a word. Now listen, that's not too hard. Sure, mysterious. It's not too hard. It's not too hard if you hear yourself say something you didn't say it. You surprise everybody else. That's happened. How many times? God knows. I don't know how it's going to happen. It's very mysterious. What is it? See, people fail to understand the sovereignty of Almighty God. He does what he wants and he'll do it. And he'll do it through you and me too. See, we want, no, you don't back away. I backed away from ministry years ago. I quit. That's why I take such a tough stand. Now, you people got to forgive me if I stand up here just tough and hard as nails. Don't fool with me. See, I fooled with myself on God many years ago. I paid too big a price. I'm paying for it now. Don't fool with me. I'll die here as a skunk and a liar. I will die as that skunk and liar. If you want somebody else, get him. But don't fool with me. And I won't fool with you. That's an agreement. And I got ears like elephants to hear. Eyes like an owl, even work at night. And a brain like a computer. I'm exaggerating. You know why? Because you come to the place. I'm sorry. Now you understand? It's not as hard as you think, but it's difficult in the transition. Because we're strangers. We just look, brother, sister. Adam from the earth, earthy, was put into a kingdom. He blew it. We got problems. We're not going to blow it, though, because he won't let us. Brother Ann said, this bride will not go down the drain. She will not be seduced and fail. I am going to make it, hallelujah. I'm going to see you with me, hallelujah. He might not even want to go with me, but I got news for you. You're going with me, or he ain't going either. You got problems, kid. You do what you want. I'll do what I want. See, I'm not as mean as I sound. I just lay it on the table. What else can I do? What am I supposed to do? See, I believe this. I believe everything I told you about this is true. It all looks beautiful here. See? That's enough. Perfect faith, perfect affection, perfect perfection that cannot fail. Never had it till now. That faith never fails. Won't do it. He was a mystic to them with perfect faith. And so it is now with those who have perfect faith. William Branham had it right up there. But he said, I'm going to tell you something. Everything I had as a prophet in a tube where God forced every issue was to let you know through me, vindicated, that he backs his word and goes out of his way to prove it. Yeah, brother, sister, I said the other day, I said it's so true. Don't ever try to make the word a prisoner to you. You become a prisoner to the word. We all need it. That's why I said it. Before we go, I want to tell you how much appreciate you all coming. It's a highlight of my life here for people come in from afar. To give honor and glory to the Lord God of hosts, to his word, who have confidence that I'm able to help you in the respect of delivering this word. That means everything to me. Nothing else really matters in the light of that. So we love each other around the word, and I say to you this, I don't care what your lives are, that's up to you and God. But I have faith in this, if you sit here, under this teaching that Brother Branham gave us, you are the conduits for the word. The word is the conduit for the Holy Spirit. And if you have that word, which you understand now how you have that word and become the word, you are a bride. You will be transformed. God will work in your life. Everything needs to be worked out. No one needs to ride herd over you. Brother Branham never called anyone to task. He laid down only one law. He said, just might, he said. He felt pretty stern when he says he backed away a lot from hurting anybody at all. He never withheld communion. He was an open communicant like we are. And he said, well, gross immorality would be the one place I draw the line. So you see how we stand with the prophet. We believe that this word will do it or nothing will do it anyway. And if you've got a seed in you, something has got to happen to you. You've got to mellow. And yet you've got to be strong and firm and literally harsh against the things of the enemy. At the same time, see, harmless as doves, wise as serpents. I trust that word was doing that for me and for you. Because I don't see any other hope. If I'm wrong, I've led you astray. I don't believe I have. Let's be dismissed. Heavenly Father, parting time again. At least this little moment, perhaps more parting tomorrow. Definitive for a few weeks, whatever. Hopefully coming together, many of us, at Thanksgiving time, and may it be the greatest time ever if we can come together. Where, Lord, the humility and love and grace of Jesus Christ saturating, emanating from human vessels, may come into manifestation. Sweet, sweet Spirit of Christ, sweet spirits, whoever they are, whatever they might be amongst us, all a part of the great kingdom, in harmony as never before. Help us to that end, O God. Whatever it takes to mellow sweetness, Lord, it took a lot to mellow and sweeten Abraham and Sarah. Sure did. Your presence did it to Sarah. Your presence can do it to a bride. Make her fall right in line. Bring forth that son in flesh. Oh God, we're looking for it. We thank you, Lord, for this hour of truth. May it govern our lives, Lord. May we, like Brother Branham, Paul, and your true servants, become a prisoner to it. With that word controlling, obedient servants, transfigured, getting ready to cross over, cross up in glorified bodies. Lord, we know that's what it's all about today. And we thank you for it. Now settle, I pray, Lord, every doubt and every fear in everybody's heart at this moment. And Lord, if there be one person here, any person, any persons, who need to reconcile their lives with yours by coming to you, Lord God in heaven, for the rebirth, to be born again. Reconcile their lives and cleaning up, Lord, we all do, and you see your servant up here is the most miserable of all. I pray, Lord, not one shall fail of the grace of God today to take it. As we're coming to Mount Zion, to pass over that beautiful land as beautiful characters and sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, with the knowledge of God in a holy, sanctified life as never before. Guide and protect each one, Lord, till we meet again. Keep us safe and in hell. Make us useful to you somehow, some way, if just to one person for 1 minute, somehow, Lord. We could pray even beyond that. But every day, bring a blessing to somebody. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory because we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our loving Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.